Corinthians chapter 11, please. In just a little while, we will observe the Lord's Supper, known to many as communion. This week, particularly for those who are blood-bought, born-again, Bible-believing Christians, ought to be, and of course every week ought to be, but this week ought to be a time of reflection, and particularly in the light of the Lord's Supper. In the midst of the hustle and the bustle and the excitement of Christmas, those who know the Lord and love Him ought to concentrate some of their attention on that which the Apostle Paul admonished the Corinthians to think about. Paul was writing a church that was basically a carnal church. That is, that it was a church that was more interested in the things of the world than in the things of God. The Corinthians church was a church that had all kinds of problems. It was a church that was characterized by immorality, unsaved people in their midst, several other problems. Paul wrote them a rather harsh and biting letter to help them straighten out some of their problems. This church had gone so far that they had even failed to realize the real significance of the Lord's Supper. They'd made a mockery out of this, which the Lord Himself had instituted, and that which we will observe in a little while. And the apostle is setting forth some admonitions which he requires them, under the counsel of the Holy Spirit, to remember. In this chapter, Paul is winding toward a climax of this great book, and he is bringing to their attention the necessity of remembering these things. In just a little while, we will look in another portion of the chapter, but in verse 28, we read these words. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The Bible is a book that constantly reminds us to examine ourselves. I suppose that's one of the reasons why the Bible is on the most hated list. Even though I realize that it's a book that's bought more than any other book on the face of the earth, it's a book that's read less than any book on the face of the earth, I believe. People buy it, but few read it. And there are many, and there are multitudes, and the multitude seems to be growing, that literally despise the Word of God. I'm certain that there are several reasons, but one that would have to be right at the top of the list would be because the Bible continually admonishes us to examine ourselves. And honest self-examination can be a very painful thing. It can be a painful thing. But God said, before you partake of the Lord's Supper, examine yourself. This evening, just for a few brief moments, we want to concentrate our attention through the Word of God upon the idea of examining ourselves. David did that on numerous occasions as he wrote the Psalms under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. In Psalm 18 and in verse 20, we read these words. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. David could not always voice these words throughout the entire scope of his life, for there were times when David did depart from the righteousness of God. There were times when David did fall into sin, realizing that, of course, each one of us succumbed to that awful tempter, the Bible reminding us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet David had a realization of the promises and the values of what Isaiah had to say on the subject. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1 for a moment. Isaiah chapter 1. Self-examination can be brutal, extremely difficult. And yet God says, you have a need to examine yourself. David was doing that very thing in Psalm 18. He was examining himself. He was looking into his own heart. And fortunately for David, at that point in time, David could honestly, from the depths of his heart, say, I have examined myself and I find myself clean and prepared before the Lord. Isaiah gave the same type of information. Let's look closely in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now here in Isaiah chapter 1 and in verse 18, we have the basis of self-examination. It does not take an honest individual very long to realize that they stand before God totally unclean and condemned in relationship to God and His holiness. We live in a society that majors on an idea of relativity, and they say, well, I'm not so bad relative to. I'm not so bad in comparison to. I suppose if you can look around, just about the worst of us can always find someone who appears to be, in as far as their sinful condition, worse off than we are. And yet the Word of God says that God only compares us against His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we stand against the Lord Jesus Christ, we find ourselves despicable in a very, very wicked and decrepit spiritual condition. Now God says, in view of that, we need to examine ourselves. Oh, how painful it can become. I realize that my thoughts, that the intents of my heart, are wicked. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I find out that I stack up against God very poorly indeed. Now God said that He is reasonable. And God said that He is willing to reason with man, and therefore He concluded, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Now, how is such a thing possible? Is it possible for my sins to be made as clean as the white driven snow? That's what God says. How is it possible? Well, is it possible through the efforts of my own flesh and my own merits and my own good works to make myself clean and stand appropriated before God in a clean condition? Certainly not. Could I possibly stand justified before God because of church relationship, membership, ritual, sacrament? Certainly not. Then how can my sins be washed as white as snow, as Isaiah spoke of? Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now God is reasonable, and God is willing to reason with you, and God wants you to examine yourself. Now as we examine ourselves, we find that the truth of God's Word is ever permeating to every heart who will open it to the Word of God, and that is that we are sinners. And sinners need a Savior. And isn't that what Christmas is all about? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Dear friend, Christmas, real Christmas, is not lights and bells and Santa Claus and candy cane and cookies and fudge and presents and tinsel and trees. Christmas is the story. He shall save their people. He shall save His people from their sin. That's Christmas. There was a day in my life when, according to the Word of God, I examined myself. There was a day in the majority of the lives that are represented here tonight when they examined themselves. And they found themselves lacking in the sight of God. An honest man will examine himself. A dishonest man refuses to examine himself. If you're honest, you'll examine yourself before the Lord. Only dishonest people refuse to do that. As I examine myself in the light of God's Word, which is characterized in James and 2 Corinthians as a mirror, I found myself desperately lacking. And I found that I needed a Savior, one who could personally save me from my sin. And so I trusted Him to do it. And I asked Him to save me by faith, and He did it. And dear friend, He'll do the same for you. He'll save you and you and you and you tonight. The greatest gift that you could ever have is the gift of eternal life. The Word of God says this. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe upon the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Some of you will go home following the service tonight and open some presents, and some of you will do it in the morning, and you'll share your gifts and receive and give, and it's a blessed and a wonderful and an exciting time. I've received some wonderful gifts in my life. I'll never forget my first shotgun. My father gave it to me. I still own it. It means a great deal to me. I'll never forget my first fly rod. My father gave it to me. It means a great deal to me. Still have it. It's all beat up, tattered, but I still have it. I'll never forget, for all of eternity, the gift of salvation. My Father gave it to me. My Heavenly Father, that is. And all I had to do to receive it was essentially the same thing that I had to do to receive the shotgun and the fly rod. I had to reach out and take it. I'll never forget that first 16-gauge shotgun. I took it out of the box and I handled it oh so tenderly. My father said to me, "Son, it's not loaded." You know, I believed him. I trusted my dad. If my dad said it wasn't loaded, that meant it wasn't loaded. And I looked it over, and I was so proud because I could believe my dad. When I received that first Wright & McGill 7.5-foot, 4-section fly rod, my dad said, "Now, son, this is exactly what you need for the kind of fishing that we do." I believe my dad, because my dad knew everything about fishing that there was to know. And when my Heavenly Father said, "Son, you need your sins forgiven, and you need to have them cast as far as the east is from the west, and you need to have them buried in the deepest sea, never to be remembered again," I believed him. Because my Heavenly Father knows everything that there is to know about my soul. And he gave me the gift of eternal life. As you examine yourself tonight, do you have the gift of eternal life? Have you received it from your Heavenly Father? He longs and desires to give it to you. There's few things in life that are more exciting than giving gifts. I guess God knows that. That's why He gave His only begotten Son. He's so anxious for you to receive it. He's so anxious for you to receive this blessed gift of His. As you examine yourself tonight, how do you find yourself standing before the Lord? Saved? Lost? Assurance of heaven? Or do you lack that assurance? The apostle said, "So let every one of us examine ourselves." Once again, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Is that the condition of your sin tonight? If not, Jesus can take care of it. Shall we bow our heads together for prayer? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And in just a moment, we shall pray. Dear friend, it's Christmas time. Would you receive God's gift? I wonder who's here tonight and said, "Preacher, I've already done that. I have received the gift of eternal life." I realize that you're not talking about a church membership or affiliation. I realize you're not talking about sacraments and ritual. I realize you're talking about receiving a person for the forgiveness of my sins. And I've done it. I have received the most wonderful gift of all. Better than a fly rod, better than a shotgun, better than a new car or truck, I've received eternal life. My Heavenly Father gave it to me. It's in my possession today. How many folk here today could just give affirmative testimony to that receiving by uplifted hand? Say, "Yes, I've received it." Just slip it up for a moment, would you please? Across the auditorium. Bless your hearts. Take it down. Thank you. Who's here tonight and say, "Preacher, it's Christmas time and I'm caught up, as most people are, in the joy and the spirit of Christmas. But if I were to be honest today, as I examine myself, I do see a vacuum in my soul. I see an emptiness in my heart. For to be quite honest, I have no assurance of eternal life. If I died tonight, I do not know if I would die in my sin or out of my sin. If I died tonight, I'm not sure if my sin would appear before God red like crimson or white as snow. I do not know. Dear friend, it's to you that we would address the next very few and brief remarks. The Bible says, as you examine yourself, you find yourself guilty and under the condemnation of sin, but God loved you and He seeks to save you. And that salvation is applied to your soul by receiving His dear Son by simple faith and trust. For the Word of God says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and just before we pray, I wonder who this evening would say, "Now, Pastor, I am deeply concerned about my soul and its eternal destiny, and I would simply tonight request you to pray for me. I will not embarrass you or point you out, but I'll remember you in prayer. I am concerned. Do remember me in prayer this evening." If that's an expression of your heart, then I would like to join you in prayer. You're not sure about your soul and its destiny? Slip your hand up right now that I might remember you in prayer, would you please, across the auditorium. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for your honesty. Is there another while we wait a moment or two? I am concerned. I do not know. It's Christmas time, but I lack the most blessed gift of all of the gifts. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you. Anyone else while we wait just a moment? I am concerned. Here's my hand. Remember me in prayer. If you would receive the most wonderful gift of all, what would you choose? I would choose the one that I've already received. My Heavenly Father gave it to me. Our Heavenly Father, we're aware of the fact that there are people here this evening who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they have testified to it by uplifted hand. Our heart goes out to them tonight, realizing that we can remember the day when we were in similar condition. In fact, Lord, it was identical condition for there was a day when each one of us gathered together in this auditorium were on our way to a devil's hell. But Jesus saved us, and He will save them too. Now, Lord, help them to know that the wonderful and most blessed thing that they could do this evening is to reach out by faith and receive the gift that God has for them. Help them to know and understand that Jesus can save them from all of their sin. May they be willing to trust Him tonight. Heavenly Father, help us to know what Jesus knew and taught over in the book of Luke when He told us that cleanness is not an outward condition but an inward condition. He spoke of the Pharisees. And He spoke of how clean they appeared to be on the outside, for they were covered with the facade of religion. And their cloak of ecclesiasticalism was flaunted so that all could see. And yet our Savior said that inside they looked as a rotten grave, full of dead men's bones. And Lord, there may be some who are in similar condition tonight, but God is reasonable, and He is willing to save them. And He's willing to make their sin, yea, Lord, though it be red like crimson, it can be white as snow. May they come and trust the Savior tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand to our feet? Dear friend, please listen. No one moving about or stirring. A very important part of our service. If you're here this evening and you raised your hand for prayer, perhaps you didn't, but you are concerned. The Word of God would ask you to examine yourself. Look in your own heart, and what do you see? You see someone that's saved or lost. You see someone that stands before God, justified and accepted in His presence, or rejected. What do you see tonight? The Lord wants to save you, but you must invite Him to. If you'll step out of your seat as soon as we begin to sing a verse of invitation, someone will meet you here. You just step out, make your way down any one of these aisles. One of our trained altar workers will be here with an open Bible, and in just a couple of moments they will show you from God's holy word how to become a child of God. We're not talking about joining this church. As you can see, we've got lots of church members. That's not our primary concern. Our primary concern is, are you going to heaven or hell? Our primary concern is, have you received the most wonderful gift of all? As we sing, you step out and receive it too, and it'll be the best Christmas you ever spent. Be the best.